Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale. Frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
Welcome back, tokers and tokettes and non-token lovers of liberty. Radical Rust coming to you live from beautiful Astoria, Oregon, home of the Goonies, never say die. Our phone lines are open at 971-533-7111. That number once again, 971-533-7111. I want to talk a little bit more about the rant and how our elected officials and our government, our systems are designed and are further being pushed to thwart any sort of popular reform, any sort of popular mass movement of the people. And I believe a lot of this has to do with the internet mobilizing us and getting us all on the same page. Well, not on the same page, but those of us who are on the same page, giving us a way to communicate with each other and to mobilize and to organize. And it's having an effect on the corridors of power. That and the ability of the internet to expose secrets and to spread the word when we do catch these officials engaged in shenanigans. And so one example of this is the current Democratic race for president. And before I get into some of that, I did want to make a note that my piece on why I will never vote for Hillary Clinton because I don't vote for Republicans has now gotten over 71,000 shares. It's one of the most read pieces I've ever written. I'm really stunned by it. So much so that it got a response piece in The Guardian in the UK. Yeah, I actually got a response piece written about it that quotes me extensively in The Guardian UK. And the gist of the piece, and it's the gist of criticism I've heard before, is that it's a very white privileged thing to be able to say you're not going to vote for Hillary Clinton if she's the nominee against Donald Trump. Now, I get this all the time, right? Oh, it must be nice. You won't have to suffer from the terrible, terrible apocalypse that a Trump presidency will be. And of course, I've got two stock answers to it. Number one is, if you're going to accuse me of having some sort of privilege, please tell me where I pick up my white privilege checks, man, because I'm homeless. I got no health care. I got no retirement, right? I'm living on the edge just like a whole lot of people. So if the argument is that it's going to trash the economy in some sort of terrible way, it's going to take me down before it takes a lot of you down. But the other argument would be, oh, the rights of minorities and Trump's rallies being violent and all these people are racist and misogynistic and xenophobic and Islamophobic and homophobic and who knows, acrophobic as far as I know. But that will be the terrible result, that we'll have some sort of Nazi fascism in America. I don't see that happening either. You know, they always have that rule about Godwin's law, the first person on the internet. Given any chat discussion, the chances that someone will mention Hitler
approach one, you know, approach certainty the longer the chat goes on. And that's what I think we're at the Trump stage here. People making all these Hitler comparisons and how it's like brown shirts and how all this violence is going on at the rallies and the kicking out black people and you're not going to let any Muslims in the country and so forth. I don't buy it for a second. I think he's trolling. I really do. And I think part of that is being used by establishment officials. In a sense, it's almost like, you know, let's put Trump up to be so offensive and so terrible that people will have to accept Hillary Clinton. And sorry, I don't. Besides, after Michigan and this most recent debate, I wouldn't count Bernie Sanders out of this for winning the nomination himself.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
It's time for cannabis facts about teen drug use from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A recent survey by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control indicates that in states that have legalized medical marijuana, the rate of marijuana consumption among high school students has not increased. In fact, in legal states like Colorado, teen use has actually decreased significantly. It's simply no longer a big deal for teenagers in legal states. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
Maui Wowie, Acapulco Gold, California Kush, our strain stretch everywhere too.
This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
Ganjapreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Ganjapreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Ganjapreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Ganjapreneur.com. Helping Ganjapreneurs grow.
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. This is Dan Michaels from danmichaelsaudio.com. And you're listening to Radical Russ on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. And I want to continue this discussion about democracy in this country and how the popular will of the people gets thwarted in all these little ways. And I think that's important because that's what leads to so much of people being politically disaffected, people not wanting to vote. How many times you've been out there trying to gather signatures for a legalization campaign and heard people, you know, ask them if they're registered to vote? Oh, I'm not registered to vote. I don't vote. It doesn't matter. They'll do what they want anyway. Doesn't matter what I do. It's all fixed. It's all rigged. Right? You hear that a lot. And unfortunately, it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? You know, if you believe it's rigged and your vote doesn't matter, so you don't vote, well, then you're right. Your vote doesn't matter because they don't need you anymore. They've narrowed the pool down to a smaller group of people who will actually decide things. And part of what leads to this demoralization of the voters are the constructs of our democracy. That a lot of them are holdovers from
an earlier era with, you know, with less education, with no internet. And I don't think these things, I think they're anachronisms that we don't need in our society anymore. One of them would be the Electoral College. The Electoral College was originally put together by the white, landowning, some slave-owning males who put this country together, who said all men are created equal except for the black ones that are only 60% of a man. These guys originally instituted voting was only for white landowners, males, and the Senate was chosen by the state legislators. We weren't popularly electing senators. And an electoral college was created as a compromise between the people who were worried of the popular vote would give the South too much power, but a state-by-state vote would give the North too much power. And so we come up with this compromise that gives one vote to the states for each senator and representative. So you get your two votes for your senator, and you get your however many votes proportionally representing your congressman, right? So you get this Electoral College. Now, the problem with the Electoral College is that it renders the popular vote meaningless. People can win the election even without the popular vote. It's happened a couple of times, George W. Bush being one of the most recent. And it creates a national election, which is really only an election in 5 or 6 states. I lived in Idaho most of my life, so it didn't matter who I voted for. Whether I went out and voted for president didn't mean squat, because no matter who I voted for, everybody was going to vote for the Republican. The Republican was going to win Idaho. It doesn't matter who the Republican is. The Republican's going to win Idaho. So the Democrat and the Republican that are in whatever contest, whichever year, don't even bother to go to Idaho much to campaign or talk to people. What's the point? We already know how that one's turning out. Similarly, the Democrat's going to win Massachusetts. It's just already ordained. Doesn't matter if you're a Republican living in Massachusetts, your vote for Trump or whoever isn't going to matter. The only votes that really end up mattering are in these so-called swing states, Joe, Event Center. And what's interesting about this is they just had this Cannabis Cup in San Bernardino last weekend of January, first weekend of February. It was the first Southern California Cannabis Cup that was a 2-weekend event. And so they've already done this 3 months ago. But the way they're getting around it is they're saying that that one was the Southern California Cannabis Cup. This one will be the U.S. Cannabis Cup. So it's going to be a U.S. Cannabis Cup in San Bernardino. But in Colorado, there will still be a Colorado Cannabis Cup competition, but not an event. So there's not going to be any tents, any place to go to see vendors and an expo and all of that. But they already had all of these growers who grew their strains and made their extracts and their edibles and submitted them to High Times for a Colorado Cannabis Cup. They're kind of bummed there's not going to be an event. So they're still going to go forward with the judging of the Colorado samples. And they're still going to go forward with an announcement of the winners on April 19th at the First Bank Center in Broomfield, Colorado. They've got a concert already scheduled with Cypress Hill, Action Bronson, Chronix, and Parliament Funkadelic. That's going to be a pretty good show. I'd like to be at that show. April 19th there in Broomfield, Colorado. So those of you growers and edible makers and extract artists who've already entered the Cannabis Cup, they're still going to be judging and there's still going to be a celebration and an announcement at that concert. There's just not going to be an actual Cannabis Cup event. That's going to be in San Bernardino. So we can't have a Cannabis Cup in Denver. We can't have a Cannabis Cup in Portland. We can't have a Cannabis Cup in Seattle. But we can have multiple Cannabis Cups in San Bernardino where marijuana is not even legal. It's medical Cannabis Cup, right? Isn't that crazy? Doesn't that just blow your mind? Here's another story that'll blow your mind. in Texas, a small North Texas town. Gunter, Texas. This small North Texas town is going to be hosting the site of a cannabidiol oil dispensary that they're going to be putting together. You know, Texas is one of these states that has signed a law for cannabidiol oil, and that's going to be a part of this law, as they're going to set up this dispensary out in this small Texas town. And, you know, we're talking about the non-psychoactive CBD oil in this case. And it's remarkable, as you go through the comments section, finding people that are upset about this. This doesn't belong in our town. And one lady in the comments keeps going back to, it's an illegal drug. It's an illegal drug. It's not. Not in Texas. They've legalized CBD oil. It's not an illegal drug. And there is actually one really good comment on the piece from a gentleman who points out that, look, in Texas, people can walk around with guns on their hips and drive at the age of 14. Are we really worried about a CBD oil dispensary? It's more reefer madness run amok. All right, let's go to our phone lines at 971-533-7111. We've got a caller on the line from the 650 area code. You're on the air with Toker Talk Radio. What's on your mind?
Oh, hey, Russ. This is Kevin Saunders from Costa Rica. I'm calling in, and I was going to want to talk to you about the MCLR Steve Covey donation.
Yeah, what do you think of that? I mean, I posted, you know, look, I'm always for anybody donating to try to legalize marijuana and keep me out of a cell, but lately, a lot of people have been responding to this and saying it kind of sounds like a penny stock scam. So what's your take on this?
You know, I'll tell you, the way I really feel about it, first as I start with, I always consider the source. And when you look at Steve Covey's record, you know, his involvement in Prop 215, city council candidate, started four companies. He's a legend in most people's estimation. He's got an incredible team put together of John Lee and Kimmy Kendricks and an SE attorney, local attorney. You know, it just, he's also had cancer. He's been in remission for 3.5 years. You know, to me, the three basics of any company that I would invest in would be: one, does it have intellectual property? It does. Second, does it have accomplished leadership? I believe that it does. And the third would be, could it expand and save lives of our fellow human beings? Those are the three components, along with the Porter's five forces, that I really believe, especially with John Lee and of MCLR, you know, such a good man and such a history of being as a business consultant, as a brainchild behind MCLR. You know, I understand penny stocks, Russ. I mean, David Down's article, I mean, I believe David. I trust David in 99.99% of the things he does, but I think he's all wet on this one. I think he really missed the boat when he didn't mention basically the legend of Steve Covey. He hasn't mentioned that, yes, penny stocks might be that way, but we're talking about an entirely different paradigm with marijuana. And so much money's coming in with ArcView Group. So much money's coming in through private investment that you and I have seen with our own eyes. And I think that's just, it's a game changer. It already has SEC cert on it. I mean, it hasn't gone through the entire process. And yes, there could be hang-ups and slow-ups. But when you look at his revolutionary, the extraction process, and the fact that, you know, he's applied for patents, you know, nutraceuticals are a burgeoning industry, not with a lot of oversight, but if it's within the realm of the medical marijuana industry, he's going to have so many eyes on him. And I just don't think a man that has had cancer in remission with that incredible amount of team would risk doing this to our community at such a critical time when we're facing essentially the big pot takeover of California. And if you go to these events, and I know that you believe in local politics, Russ, I know your heart's in the right place, and I'd follow you into war, I'd follow you into battle. And I'm almost there with you on this. And if MCLR isn't going to make it, I'll be right there, right next to you with the OMA. There's no way I'm going to align myself with Kevin Sabat. There's no way I'm going to align myself with any of those. I'm not going to align myself with any of those entities, sheriff's department, DAs, but we have this one final chance with MCLR, and to sell that stock, whether you do overseas or not, is going to be an easy task to do, and it could easily translate not to $50,000, not in this industry with medical marijuana. I believe it would translate it enough to get signature gatherers on the ground. I believe that we really need to listen to Steve, and I think that we need to cut him some slack on this one, and I'm curious to hear your opinion.
Okay, well, first thing is the, you know, I've had John Lee on the show, I've had Kimmy Kendricks on the show. I'm not against legalizing marijuana. I'm all for, you know, MCLR, if you can get on the ballot, you know, I'll be one of the first guys promoting it and shouting it from the rooftops. Where the I'm not a finance guru. Once you start putting commas and percent signs around numbers, it throws me a little bit. But the thing to me was the touting of, you know, a big headline, we're donating $1 million to MCLR, when no, you're not. You're not donating $1 million. You're donating a whole bunch of stock that you think someday might be worth $1 million, but right now trades at 5 cents a share. And if he's got the money, give the money to MCLR. And if you're going to say, it'd be a lot better to see a headline that says Steve Cubby gives $50,000 to MCLR than Steve Cubby gives $1 million. And then this backtracking of, well, it's not really $1 million. It's if you buy into my company, maybe if it profits, then you'll get some money. And since we're talking about an initiative that requires some signatures in a relatively short time, his IPO doesn't even drop until April 20th, right? 4/20. So we're already, you know, losing, 5 weeks of signature gathering time between then and now, where there's no funding for MCLR. And then even if it does break in the IPO and he makes a whole bunch of money, that stock has to be converted into the money. The money has to hire signature gatherers. I don't know. It just seems... You know, if you want to give money to MCLR, give money to MCLR. Don't try to hype your company on the back of legalization.
You know, you make some good points. And if that ends up being the case, I would be the first person standing with you to call the people that did this out. I just personally, at this point, don't believe that. I'm not an expert tax or litigation or, you know, equities securities attorney, but I do feel that this could spur in a macro sense some sort of other investment. I believe that at this point, including any form of civil disobedience, including any form of investment to gain publicity for MCLR at this absolutely critical moment. I mean, I will say it and I will say it again. It is very much reminiscent to me of Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. If MCLR, if I could say, could be Bernie, then OMA is Hillary. What people really want is MCLR, and you have an incredible amount of resources, an incredible amount of money going towards OMA. And quite frankly, it almost feels like an infomercial when you go to some of these really good, amazing events, I won't name them by name, and they have these high-powered attorneys who I believe in, would hire myself. And I don't want to use the word shill word, but they don't present it with any sort of debate or any sort of opposition. And again, it feels more like a coronation than it feels a debate. And that was why I had a problem with what Tim Blake did at that moment at the Emerald Cup. And that is why I decided at that moment to speak up, whether some people viewed it as a tantrum. I don't. I think it we needed at some point a counterbalance to that opinion. And I also thought it was dirty pool politically, and I apologize. I don't apologize for being more a political guy. You know, we're talking a lot about policy, and this is where policy and policy intersect. And
right.
I think that's
and you've given a good defense of this. And I agree that there needs to be more discussion and debate. I don't like shutting down voices. I always believe the solution to speech is more speech. But let me go back to your analogy of Hillary and Bernie being Alma and MCLR. In order for that analogy to work, MCLR needs to have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of small donations. Bernie is shattering fundraising records compared to Hillary right now based on $27 donations from average people. If every toker out there, like you said, is really preferring MCLR to Alma, then they need to be taking a dime bags worth of money and throwing it at MCLR, and I just don't see that happening. So I don't.
Well, if that was the case, Russ, and I agree with you, then we would have had CCHI 2, 4, 6 years ago. And I say that derisively because, in my opinion, and you said it best, MCLR or CCHI is, for all intents and purposes, over. I mean, Buddy Doozy came out and said it's over. And I have been very, very vocal in why CCHI is choosing to play Ralph Nader in this scenario, not merging with MCLR, strengthening MCLR like a coming avalanche. And when you have these donations from Steve Covey, in whatever form they are, and you have people like John Lee, Dave Hodges, Jennifer Nicoletto, Kaplan Nicoletto, and these really strong voices that come for MCLR, Granddaddy Mike in his appeal during his own achievement award that he got. And then you have these really passionate voices saying, stop the presses, something's going on here. And I'm one of the few people that's saying that we need to fall in line if MCLR doesn't make it. By hook or by crook, if it does not make it, then we need to fall in line because I will not, and I have to credit you. I have to credit you. I really do. I have to give you credit because probably if it wasn't for you and your voice, I probably wouldn't be where I'm at right now in my thinking. I cannot go into that voting booth. And your point's exactly. I mean, all this progress in Colorado, all this progress in Washington, in your home state of Oregon, all these jobs, all these guys being able to pay their rent and their mortgages and all that and raise their families wouldn't be happening if it wouldn't have been legalized. And your points are good about where would we be now if Prop 19, you know, that all the little problems, the little minutiae would have been fixed through legislative. And you make a good point, whereas I am holding out for this maybe grandiose vision. But I will not support OMA in that I will not be vociferous in my praise, but I will not vote against it because standing in there and voting against it is voting with you, and you saw it.
Yeah.
Talk about strange bedfellows. You're talking about a DA association, a police justice association, Kevin Sabat, and that latest guy that got up there in that video, the older guy. I mean, this is talk that we haven't heard since Jesus, before 80. I mean, you should have seen Ethan Nadelman. He couldn't believe the guy that they brought up. He was bringing up things about pot that he hadn't even heard for years. This guy was against medical marijuana.
Yeah.
So I can't align myself with those guys, Russ. So
and
I
it's
really,
not like MCLR is a wild proposal. It's a pretty well thought out proposal, more liberal than the ALMA Act for sure. But it's not like what we see out of Missouri where they're proposing, you know, unlimited, you know, no age limit, toking and driving is legal. So where I get disappointed is, you know, when you say that this is the one the people really want, I keep thinking if they did, they'd throw $100 at it. When Matt Cumin stood up in that thing and said, look, all you medical people made a ton of bucks on this for the last 20 years. Anybody here want to write a $1,000 check? And nobody wants to write a $1,000 check. I mean, we need to, if the people really want better initiatives than the ones then the industry and the interested billionaires like Sean Parker want to put out, then they need to organize and get the money together to do it. And until they do, I'm going to be thankful for guys like Sean Parker that actually put some money forward to end my criminality.
Why do you think that is, Russ? Why do you think that people haven't stepped up in the activist community more?
I think there's... For one, I think a lot of our activist community, a lot of our marijuana community has been underground and persecuted for so long. We've built in this ingrained default setting that if it's the system, if it's the man, if it's corporate, it must be evil. And so that we disconnect ourselves from the power of our own, we disconnect ourselves from our own political power, believing that we are impotent. And in believing that we're impotent, we make ourselves so. And that's where I get frustrated. And I'm hoping this Bernie Sanders revolution with all these small dollar donations starts to make a difference in the way that some people perceive this. And Kevin, I appreciate you calling in. I always do. I'm up against the back of this segment. If you want to hold, we can stay on hold. They'll come back after the commercial. Will that be cool?
Hey, you know what? Why don't you just do the rest of your show? I actually have to go work with my attorney. I just wanted to call in and just give my 2 cents.
Let's
try to schedule a show next week. My trial starts on March 21st, so I'd love to maybe talk to you a little about the legal judicial side of it maybe next week. But
yes.
I appreciate the offer. I really just got to go. But thanks again, Russ, for everything.
All right. Thanks, Kevin Saunders.
Really,
and good luck on your electoral campaigns and on the trial coming up. We'll get you on the air to talk about that soon. Appreciate your call in, and good luck on everything.
Thanks, buddy. Bye-bye.
All right. Stay tuned, folks. We are the voice of the Marijuana Nation. You're always welcome to call. We're back right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
Cannabis Confidential with Dr. Dina. Candid.
I want to give you the inside story.
Captivating.
I want to introduce you to my kind and amazingly talented friends.
Compelling.
We get to meet some of the most amazing cannabis activists and warriors around.
Listen in as medical marijuana pioneer Dr. Dina shares never-before-heard stories, chats with cannabis insiders and celebrity friends, and provides invaluable perspective and insight into one of the fastest-growing industries in the world.
I want to share with you what was once confidential information. Let's expose the truth, discuss the issues, and learn the facts.
Cannabis Confidential, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolut, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Pod 2.0.
It's not your father's Woodstock weed.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 46 after the hour, live here from Astoria, Oregon. Glad to have Kevin Saunders calling in that last segment because it does open up the discussion on what the people want. What do the people want? And this is where, you know, trying to make that comparison, Alma, MCLR is Hillary versus Bernie. I've known that people were going to come at me with that. Because of my emerging stance as being a Bernie bro and all that. But it's a completely different animal in a lot of ways. And one way that we can look at this is that when we're talking about the people, what the people want, when it comes to Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, there are really three the people. And the people are Democrats, independents, and Republicans. And so you can do all sorts of analysis, but the people really break down to that, politically speaking, and you can say which candidate is better or worse based on those kind of things. And when we're talking about the people, we're talking about two major parties right now, so we're talking a third to half on either side at any one time. But when we're talking about marijuana reform, the people is a very, 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 very small sliver of people who really give a shit about marijuana policy. Keith Stropp is often fond of saying that annually, there's only about 14% of the American public that uses marijuana. Monthly, it's down to about 8%, right? So right off the bat, we got anywhere between 92 and 86% of the population that does not give a shit. Now, I'm speaking loosely. Maybe there's some group of them that support legalization or marijuana policy change just because it's the right thing to do. They're politically astute and aware. They have empathy for others not like themselves. But generally speaking, the people that really care about marijuana reform are the people that are really impacted by marijuana reform, you and me. And there aren't a whole lot of you and me compared to the general population. Then, when you further take that number, and let's play with the number a little bit. Let's say it's 10%. Let's say that we get a large segment of the regular tokers who give a shit, politically speaking, and then we get a smaller segment of the non-tokers who give a shit, and you add those two together and you end up with about 10% of the people who really care in any significant way about marijuana law reform. Now, of that 10% of the people, you got to narrow it down a little bit more by people who are actually politically engaged and vote. And judging by turnout numbers, it's low in America. Maybe higher for those of us who really care. But now we're just talking about a fraction of our 10%. Let's say it's now 6%. You know, 60% of our 10% are politically engaged. Then, now we're down to 6% of the people. Now, of those 6% of the people, that's not a whole lot of people. How many of them have any sort of financial ability to donate to a campaign or time commitment they can donate to a campaign of those 6%, right? Not a whole lot. The point I'm getting to is that those of us who can actually affect change, who can actually spend the time to collect signatures or open up our wallets to give money to a campaign to legalize marijuana, is a frighteningly small number. So when someone comes along, one of us who likes the idea of legalizing marijuana, and one of those people has $1 billion at their disposal and spends $1 million of it to legalize, the first reaction from the cannabis community should be, thank the stars above. Oh my God, one of us finally has enough money to actually make a change. The rest of us, we were just smoking weed and, you know, saving up our 10s and 20s to buy a bag rather than donate to any causes or normal or anything like that. Thank goodness somebody came along with $1 million who can spend that kind of money to get it legal. Nope. That's not the response that we get. Richard Lee did it in 2010. And this is the thing that killed me and really started turning me into the cynic I am today. Is you'd think, it's like, okay, here comes this guy who's heavily embedded in the community. Everybody knew who Richard Lee was. Everybody praised the Bulldog Coffee Shop, Oaksterdam University. Here's a guy who took his own disability, the injury he suffered that turned him into a paraplegic, paralyzed in a wheelchair, benefiting from medical marijuana, plows his profits back into the community by creating a university to train people how to grow medical marijuana, creates a very popular coffee shop, raises the profile of medical marijuana in the Oakland area, revitalizes an Oakland neighborhood, shows up on the local Oakland Bay Area network news affiliates on a regular basis. Couldn't be any more one of us. A stoner from Texas who moves to California so he can use medical marijuana while he's in a wheelchair, creates a successful business, and then takes $1.5 million of that money when nobody would fund legalization in California. 2010, up to that point, legalization had been tried in Alaska, Nevada, and Colorado multiple times and failed. All because of backing from MPP. Not, they didn't fail because of MPP, but they were all backed by MPP, which meant they were backed by Peter Lewis and George Soros and the other billionaires who aren't pot smokers. They're not us, right? Your Soros, your George, well, Zimmer is, but but your Soros, your Lewis, your Sperling was the other guy. The trio of billionaires, the three amigos that funded most of the medical and legalization that happened in the 2000s, they're not us. They just support us. But here in 2010, you had Richard Lee, $1.5 million of his own money, medical marijuana patient, unassailable, in a wheelchair, made it big, or made it at least big enough to propose legalization in California when no one else was for it, no one else would support it, no one would give any money for it.
beat expectations, was blowing the polls away, was opening up the national discussion for marijuana legalization. And we had people that were pillorying him, crucifying him on social media and in the regular media. People from our own community saying he was trying to create a monopoly and he was a sellout and this was the worst thing ever and vote no on Prop 19. It was just mind-blowing. And that was a moment that kind of just changed my perspective to realize that some people just have this innate distrust of the man and the process and the system and the politics and all of that. And it's just, it just blows my mind. So now we get a repeat of this. We get Sean Parker pushing his initiative, and we get the same kind of response from these same sorts of people. And generally, I don't think it's the people so much as it is these dispensary owners or existing growers who like the status quo the way it is. And then, of course, they can pull some of their more easily manipulated customers into believing these strange conspiracy theories that the guy in the wheelchair wants to destroy cannabis consumers through legalization. Crazy. They will be held accountable, though. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll close the show up from beautiful Astoria, Oregon. Never say die. We'll be back right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
The Russ Belville Show, providing dictionaries to drug czars since 2009.
Cannabis Confidential with Dr. Dina. Candid.
I want to give you the inside story.
Captivating.
I want to introduce you to my kind and amazingly talented friends.
Compelling.
We get to meet some of the most amazing cannabis activists and warriors around.
Listen in as medical marijuana pioneer Dr. Dina shares never-before-heard stories, chats with cannabis insiders and celebrity friends, and provides invaluable perspective and insight into one of the fastest-growing industries in the world.
I want to share with you what was once confidential information. Let's expose the truth, discuss the issues, and learn the facts.
Cannabis Confidential, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is. Why'd I come in here? This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Closing up shop here. Tomorrow on the show, what do we got going on tomorrow? Well, it's a Friday show, so I'm sure something good. Kind of running off the seat of my pants lately, being out here on the road. We'll be on the road most of 2016. I was talking to Michael Kravitz earlier today. He's with Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access, and we're putting together plans to be on the East Coast for UNGAS and for the... there's a bunch of conferences going on out there, and apparently Mark Kleiman from Botech is putting on a conference. Paul Armentano is going to be there, all the big drug policy people, but also Kevin Sabet and Rosalie Pakula and a bunch of the antis are going to be there as well. That's in New York, right before UNGAS. So I may just be out on the East Coast between Boston, Baltimore, and New York for most of April. So that could be very interesting. I'll keep you all posted on that. But, at this time, it's time for us to go. We're done here on CannabisRadio.com for today. Be back tomorrow with another live show at 3 p.m. Pacific, followed by Stoner Jesus at 5 p.m. Pacific live on Fridays.
be coming to you from Phoenix, Arizona next week from the headquarters of CannabisRadio.com. We'll talk to the founders of Cannabis Radio to get their perspective on the future and their excitement on signing Tommy Chong. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com and beautiful legal Grass Storia, Oregon, home of the Goonies, Never Say Die, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down.